today, it's a little tricky because it's Mother's Day. And so what you end up doing as a preacher is debating. Should I preach a Mother's Day sermon? Should I not preach a Mother's Day sermon? And so I decided, yeah, why not? After conferring with many other pastors about what they do and receiving conflicting advice, I decided, sure. But what I didn't want to do today is to give the sappy Mother's Day sermon. You know, mothers are so wonderful, and everybody had a wonderful mother, because that's not true, and everybody's so great, and be gone and have lunch. And I didn't want to initially do that. And also, I risk alienating most of my audience if I just preach to mothers. The rest of you just saw, oh, okay, Mother's Day sermon, all the men fall asleep. Okay. Usually only three men fall asleep, but this time all the men fall asleep. And all the kids start nodding off, and you know they secretly plug in their earphones or whatever, and they're listening to their iPods. So I don't want to do that today. What today I'm going to do is I'm going to preach about being a mom. But it applies to everybody here for a number of reasons. One, you probably know a mom. And they could use, well, you probably do. Maybe not your own, but you probably know one. And they could use your encouragement. Two, you may be a mom one day, and this could help you out. Three, even if your children are grown and way old, this still applies. You never stop being a parent. So, and even if you're not necessarily a parent, we all have children in our lives that we influence. I remember that when I was growing up, I had my mom, obviously, but I also had her next door. And then I had aunts, Jenny, Bobby, Kim, Tammy. Then I had my mother's best friend, Kathy. And so I had a lot of motherly figures growing up. And that's why I was slept around a lot. But as I got older, too, then I adopted more mothers. My mother-in-law was also a mother to me. And then I knew quite a few godly women growing up, and even to this day, who still take a very motherly interest in me. Much to my chagrin sometimes, but they do. Mothers have an ambition for their children. They have ambitions for their children. Some of those ambitions overall, I'm not just talking about Christian moms, but just moms overall, they have ambitions for their kids to achieve. They really want achievement. And you see that in a number of ways. One, there's the proverbial soccer mom who wants athletic achievement for their child. And some parents can be very driven to achievement. And I have noticed that when it comes down to it at ball games and gymnastics events, the ones yelling the most at the coach are the moms. Some have academic achievement on their minds for their children. They push very hard to make sure their child studies, does well on tests, very much in tune with their teachers. This is a great thing. Academic achievement is good. Some mothers are all about career achievement. They want to make sure their child gets into a certain type of career or a certain type of college or to up their way in the corporate ladders. Some mothers are concerned with popularity rather than achievement. They want their kids to be nice and therefore liked. That was my mom. Okay, everything, it doesn't matter as long as you were nice about it. And don't make waves because you want people to like you. This was my mother. And to this day, that's still one of the foremost things in my mind. Is this being nice to somebody? And that doesn't mean that you have to be wishy-washy. She definitely didn't teach me that. But don't hurt people's feelings unnecessarily. It was a good thing to teach me because I have a tendency to hurt people's feelings unnecessarily. Some mothers want financial security for their children, especially those who grew up without much financial security. And so they do what it takes. Some want their children to achieve love, find a soulmate, find a spouse, to get a family of their own. And in doing so, to provide the ultimate blessing to themselves, grandchildren. Yes. I was very blessed of my own because my mother never had the time between when I was married to having kids to nag me about grandchildren because I had them straight off, so I didn't have to go through that whole thing. But she would have. Now, how can mothers achieve all these goals for their children? Okay, now this applies to all of you here in some way or another. How can mothers achieve? Two ways I've seen. Teaching and discipline. All these goals that I mentioned can be good goals, and how we achieve them as parents for our children, or how we help them to achieve, is teaching and discipline. Practically every mother with great ambitions for their children understands these two concepts of teaching your children the way to go, the thing to do, and discipline in making sure that they practice what you've taught. These are biblical concepts too, teaching and discipline. And often we don't think of moms being teachers in the Bible, but they are. I got two great things from Proverbs here, which really says something about the role of moms. One is in teaching. Proverbs 1 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Ah, but from where does one get wisdom and instruction? Often we think, oh, from God himself. No, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." That says as much to fathers and mothers as it does to the person to whom Solomon is talking. We might think, oh, see, listen to your mom. But what does it say about moms? It says, teach your children something. Put graceful garlands on their head. Put pendants around their neck. Give them pearls of wisdom. Teach them. You know, I have raised some children so far. And this is not a slam on my children. But they do not know anything. They do not know everything at all. And often, they lack wisdom and maturity. This will always be the case. I lack wisdom and maturity. You, in some ways, lack wisdom and maturity. As we get older, though, hopefully the lack thereof decreases. But we always need somebody teaching us something. And built-in teachers. This is why it's honor your father and mother, so you may live long upon the earth. Because if you don't listen to them, you're going to die a quick death, real short. I mean, you're just going to be too stupid to do anything. I definitely would. My parents gave me great wisdom that I did not abide by for about 7 years, and then I decided that they were right. And this happens to a lot of people, right? Do not give up on your children simply because they're not listening to you. Keep teaching. Keep teaching. The second is discipline. Teaching is nothing without discipline. It's not. It's just words in the air. We can babble all day long about certain things, and without discipline, it just flies by and over. It's a necessary part of teaching. This is what Proverbs says. "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way." See, it gives a picture there. Okay, first off, a child is in the dark. Okay? In the dark. And what is teaching? It's a lamp. It's a light. So then we can see around with wisdom and teaching and knowledge. Okay? We can see around, but what does that mean? We just see where we are. We can see it's ahead of us. We can see that. We can see that. Who cares? But discipline is the way of life. It's like a road. This is the way to go. The teaching lights your way, but discipline is the way you get there. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I like that, because it doesn't say to bring shame to his dad. Now, brings shame to his mother. See how necessary discipline is? Do you want to be shamed? I mean, it's not about the kid. It's about the mom. Do you want to think, that's not my kid? You know, and never notice when there's something bad happened with your child. It's always the other one's kid. You know, your daughter. Oh, she's my daughter now. I was about to pass her off to you. Now, teaching and discipline may be sufficient to fulfill certain ambitions, but that's not the supreme goal of raising a child. Achievement, popularity, financial security, love, and family. These are not the supreme goals. These are good goals. But the supreme goal of raising a child is to raise them to lead a faithful life which is pleasing to God. And in order to do that, yes, it takes teaching, it takes discipline, but it actually takes two more things. Two more. And what I want to do is use Salome as an example. Now, there's two people named Salome, and one was Herod's stepdaughter, and we're not going to use her as an example. She was bad. But the other one is the mother of John, the apostles John and James. We don't know much about her, but she does something here in the Bible that lets us know what it means to be a godly mother raising godly children. The first thing she did was pray. She prayed. In Matthew 20, it says, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.'" Now, what is Salome's request if it is not bold prayer? That is very bold prayer. And people think that, oh, well, see, but Jesus corrected her afterwards and said that she was bad for asking. No, he didn't. He said, "That's not for me to give. You don't know what you're asking." But it didn't say, "How dare you ask?" Sometimes, when we pray for anything, I think God's up there going, you don't know what you're asking for. That could be a bad thing. You know, you don't even know what my plan for the universe is, so those aren't things I'm going to give you. But it doesn't mean that we're bad people for praying those things. It is totally right to pray anything for your children. Be bold. Notice she comes and kneels before him. She didn't just come up to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, I got a favor to ask of you. Maybe if I slip you a 20, you'll do it," or something like that. And people kind of think that to ask Jesus for things is not just bold, but it's also reckless. I don't know what my kid needs. How about if I just say, "Jesus, your will be done"? But Jesus wants to hear from our lips what we want for our children. He does want to hear it. Did you know that Salome traditionally has been held throughout the church to be Jesus' aunt, Mary's sister? There's some reasons to believe that in the Bible. But this is not the actions of an aunt to... Okay. My aunts were fantastic women. However, they never came up to me, knelt before me, and asked me for anything. If they wanted me to do something, generally they smacked me across the back of the head and told me to do it. Never mind. That's another story. I was going to tell you a certain story, but no, not in mixed company. But and children and adults, it doesn't work out. But here, what do we see about Salome? She kneels and worships, and he asks her, "What do you want?" And she says, "I want these sons to be at a high, exalted place." Is that not what you want for your children? To be at a high, exalted place in God's kingdom? To know God so intimately that they sit right next to him? I think she is to be commended for her ambition for her children. Commended for her ambition. To be so bold as to come directly to Jesus, "I need you to do something for me, for my children." Second thing she does is worship. She worships. This is an example to everybody because she worships as an example. Let's see how she worships. Matthew 27, "There were also many women there looking on from a distance," this is at Jesus' crucifixion, "who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee." That's Salome. She ministered to him. She followed him. She was looking on him. That's worship. That's discipleship. She ministered to him. She gave Jesus the things that he needed. We know throughout the New Testament, the Gospels, that the primary providers for Jesus' ministry were women. You know, you hear about the apostles a lot, but as they traveled around, it was the women who were feeding them. It was the women who were clothing them, who were gathering money. I mean, these were the ones who were the unsung heroes. And Salome was one of those, ministering, following him, and being there at his crucifixion when most of the other men had run off. To the end, she stays there. That's an example. That's an example of courage. That's an example of devotion. It's an example of faith. And then later on, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Again, this is worship. Certainly they thought their Lord was dead, but that did not stop them at all from loving him and worshiping him. Nothing stops that. Nothing stops that to them. The continued devotion, a continual worship, which, again, the men are absent from. I have noticed this about moms. Great experience with them. Is that they are much more willing to remain devoted to wayward children than dads are. Dads sometimes get to a point where they go, okay, especially for an adult child, we're not going to have this anymore. We can't do this anymore. Don't come around even, you know, for very, you know, for a good reason sometimes, but the mother is much more willing to continually hold out this idea of love and hope. Both are good things. Moms are built that way. It is the idea that, please, come back into the fold. Please, always be aware that we love you. Have you ever felt that way as a mom, or been that person who a mom loved? I need to tell you a story. There was a young man, probably about 18 years old, this was several years ago, 18, 19 years old, who fell into drugs, started doing stupid things with his friends, got into petty theft, then progressed on to higher amounts of theft, and eventually did some jail time. His father had turned him in. Cops were looking for him, knew where he was. Dad said, I know exactly where he is. Sent the police over there, called up his son and said, the cops are coming to get you, so you just stay right there. If you run, they'll find you. And he went off to prison for 2 years. And when he came out, his mother wanted to bring him back to the house and prayed for him and loved him. And still to this day, he is still being prayed for and loved. And the dad has always had this idea of I love my son, but I'm not going to harbor his ambitions towards evil any longer. But when he turns completely, it will be because of his mother's prayers. And that will be an amazing day. That will be an amazing day. Hopefully he sees her worshiping as an example. You know, I was growing up, and you were too, we saw women as examples of wrong, of right. And in the church, I see women as examples still. There are plenty of women in here. If you look around, you'll notice that in some way or other, they've probably influenced your life. They've touched you in some way. Provide examples of who you want to be, who you want your children to be. There's always something about somebody. Isn't that true? That's true. And here we have Salome, a godmother maybe. A godmother to our children, to show them what it is to be a disciple. Let us teach our children, discipline them. Let us pray for them as well, and continue to worship God so that they may see it. It is entirely impossible to raise a godly child without being a godly parent to begin with. Let's pray. Father in heaven, here we are today as your children. And you've taught us many things. And we look to you as a father, and not as a mother. You have given us mothers on earth. And those who act as mothers, Lord, help us to look for them for wisdom and guidance. And as people look to us for encouragement and counsel, we are able to provide the same.
be with all of our children whom we love. We pray for them. We lift them up to you. We want them to be great in your kingdom. We want them to be your disciples. We want them to be able to sit at your table. Help us to be great examples of faith and discipleship. Help us to teach them and discipline them in the way so that they will never lose out on your salvation, so that they will never lose out on the benefits and blessings that come with being your child. It's in Christ's name they pray. Amen.